Hey, it's Allegra Lowenstein. You can find me at allegralowenstein.com, AllegraLowenstein. Welcome back to my shitty little podcast, episode 4. I want to just take a quick minute to clarify that while the technical details of this podcast might be shitty, I 100% believe in the content as being amazing and life-changing, which is why I decided to start putting it out there before I had a fancy microphone and an appropriate schedule to record it in a quiet studio and somebody to edit it and add sound effects and have pre-recorded music and whatnot. And, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. I think about it. I think about what I want to share with you, and I put it out there. So thanks for listening. I hope that you enjoy it, and thank you for tolerating any poor quality sound that you may experience, and hopefully before too long, I'll have all the fancy equipment, and it will sound as amazing as I think it is already in content. So that brings us to today. I want to introduce to you a concept called... Actually, hold on. I'm going to back it up. The concept that I'm about to introduce to you is something that I came up with about 10 years ago. And I have been on this crazy 10-year cycle of rediscovery. My word of the year 2 years ago was actually rediscover. On the personal level, that was all about my journey into parenthood. And really just adulthood, okay? Parenthood magnified it, but it really was just adulthood, because parent, not parent, doesn't really matter. Everybody that I know, as we get older, our stress increases, our obligations increase, our burdens increase, and we lose ourselves. Men, women, everybody. I think women in particular, because there is still a lot of societal pressure to put everybody else first when you're a woman. So I was deep in that. So I was in it as a woman. I was in it as somebody who was working real hard to adult my life. I was having it magnified by parenthood, by life changes that came with that, by the fact that I left my traditional job, being the primary caregiver, starting a business, just all this stuff, all the things, right? All the things. And it has been such an amazing gift to myself to rediscover the wisdom of my youth, right? I mean, we tend to get wiser as we get older, most of us. I definitely believe that to be true of myself. And, you know, how the brain works is definitely true. And this is why children can remember crazy details that you've forgotten, because they literally remember information because they don't have the brain patterns to create wisdom. And the older that we get, the more wisdom that we have, the more patterns that we can recognize in things, the more depth of understanding. And our brain's operation actually changes, and it makes it harder to remember little details. So you're not crazy. You're not forgetful. You're just getting wiser. And the same is true of me. Also, of course, in the modern world, it's hectic and crazy and fast-paced. So that just makes it hard to remember all the details too. Just, you know, always like to remind us of the reality of the modern world. So on this process of rediscovery, it kind of started with just me and myself and taking care of my body, putting myself first, self-care, all those kind of good things. I also returned to a book, Kitchen Magic. It is the beginning of fall 2018, and that book is going to be released late fall this year. I am so pumped and excited. Going back to this text, which I wrote 10 years ago, and this is all prelude to the big idea I'm going to share for this episode. I rediscovered my youthful knowledge, my innocence, my childlike approach to the world when I had more time and, you know, I had less responsibility and I could just play in the kitchen and make potions and cook all kinds of weird food, and I used to eat these weird vegetarian sushi rolls.
All right. Morning.
Good morning. Two beautiful bikers just rode by. And I'll just tell you about the sushi rolls real quick. Nori on the outside, very traditional. Brown rice, of course, because I was a total hippie. I would put pepitas, pumpkin seeds, sorrel, which is a sour leafy herb, and cayenne pepper on the inside. And I mean, I loved those things. I would eat them all the time. Or just roll them up. I wouldn't even slice them. I would take them as a whole roll and eat them like the trendy sushi Ritos that people do now. That's what I was doing back then. I was ahead of the time. So the fact that I did shit like that is just amazing, right? Like, I would never do that now. I barely even deviate from baby carrots and cut up cucumber because I have kids and I don't want to risk cooking something that they're not going to eat. So to go back to this text, to this amazing book that has so much fun and information and has rituals and spells and just like all this fun, amazing magic that I used to create in my life. And in editing this book, which is like then of course the adult side, the work, right, that I had been wanting to publish all these years and just never really knew how, to go back, to know that I had the opportunity, to know that I was growing amazing people like you, building them into my life, and going to be able to share this has been awesome. And then in editing the text really intimately, going through with the fine-tooth comb, learning from the mistakes of my first two books where they got published with typos, which is super annoying because I'm type A, and yet I have to let go and just let them be out there until I have a chance to pull them down offline, because when you change them, they're not available, etc., etc. Okay, I won't bore you with that. So rediscovery. So going back to this book, beginning that year with the word of the year, rediscovering myself, my hobbies, my joys, my passion, rediscovering this book, going back into the information super intimately, being able to share that with that world, what magic is that? And then going back to this other idea, another idea that I had about 10 years ago that I have been keep thinking about as I listen to a lot of nonfiction, a lot of self-help, a lot of worldview type books. I listen to a lot of my books. I read a lot of books too, traditional paper pages. I like it all. I love to consume the information. And now that I'm so wise, think about it in these new lights. And lately this idea that I had written an essay on 10 years ago, and again, this was some of my stuff I was publishing 10 years ago, and a lot of it's just been sitting hidden away. And this essay has been sitting hidden away, and I want to bring it back, rework it, and share it with the world in a new way. Make it more relevant, more fun. So, finally, a third of the way into the show, let me introduce you to my concept. The idea I call considerism. And I really believe that considerism can change the world. It has changed my world. It changes the way that I live. When I put this into words 10 years ago, I'm sure I was like trying to write it to submit it to some specific thing. It was probably about how to make the world a better place. And I thought to myself, okay, there's all these ideas about how the world should work. But so many of them are focused on the specifics of how things get done. And it really, there's always going to be conflict when you're thinking about the logistical facts and plans of making the world a better place. You know, I mean, my God, look at our politics. It's so dysfunctional, right? Because everybody's so focused on, like, this is the way to a better world. And I knew that even 10 years ago when I was young, and I feel like it was even more than 10 years ago, but whatever, I'll have to look up the date. I was young and I already saw this. 10 years have gone by. The division in the world has gotten greater, and my belief that considerism is part of the solution is greater as well. Because the idea of considerism is simply this. Consider things before you say them. Consider things before you do them. Consider things before you act on them. Consider things before you speak negatively of them. Consider things before you oppose them. Just think about it. But it's not even just think about it. I also want to say it is more than just thinking, right? I am addicted to thinking. I think about everything all the time. I am up in my freaking head so much that my business/spiritual coach was like, Allegra, you can't fix this problem with your brain. That's what she told me yesterday. And it was so true. It was so true. Some problems are not thinking problems. But that doesn't mean that we can't consider them, right? We can consider the way we feel. We can consider what we see, how our bodies feel in reaction to it. And we can also consider what we think about it. So it's even a deeper type of consideration than just thinking about it. If more of us got into our bodies and asked ourselves how we felt, tuned into our gut, you know, it's like, that's the radar, that's the canary in the mine. Our gut is the one that tightens up when it feels wrong, that gets kind of sickish when it's a terrible thing, that screams like, turn around and get out of here when we're in a bad situation, right? That comes from our gut. And we don't listen to our gut. We don't listen to any part of our body. The gut's just the loudest and the easiest to tap into, but our bodies are telling us all kinds of things all the time. Our muscles are telling us with their tension, our joints are telling us with when they feel sore or tight. Our heads are telling us when we get headaches or just feel overwhelmed. Our eyes are telling us when, you know, the world just seems crazy and the lights are too bright. You know, our bodies are telling us information all the time. I look forward to more episodes going into the body specifically, and even as part of considerism, our body plays a role to just truly, deeply consider stuff. And it opens up so many possibilities, right? You're not predetermined. You're just considering. And when you look really, really big picture, I have a degree in ecology. I love nature. I love environment. I love plants. Animals are okay too. And even, you know, when you can take this really, the idea of holistic, right? We think of holistic, we want to think about, oh, like how does this affect our whole body? And that's awesome. Obviously, that's what I do for a living. That's my coaching. That's super important. And there's an even bigger picture than this. How does this affect my whole body? How does this affect my relationships with other people? How does this affect my relationship with the earth? Because everything really is connected. And so the considerism that I'm talking about is considering all of that. So for example, I was a vegetarian for more than half my life. And just in the past few years, I became kind of like a really crappy vegetarian. I'm still mostly vegetarian, but I'm not strict. I don't like check if the broth is chicken or whatever at restaurants. Sometimes I'll even order stuff when I know it has a little bit of meat in it. Now, I don't want to like sit down to a steak dinner. I don't have a craving for that. I have no interest. I do try to, if I actually am choosing meat, I am trying to pick out, you know, like organic, grass-fed, whatever. I'm dealing with my body too. I have some blood sugar stuff going on. Protein is awesome at balancing that. So I brought home some sliced organic free-range turkey. Turkey is the only meat that I even really like kind of okay. Usually we're buying fake meat, right? My husband is pescatarian. He's a strict pescatarian. He does not like to eat anything else besides fish. And I brought home this turkey. And he pulls it out, and I was like, oh, that's real meat. Okay, and this is the first time I'd done it in all the time I knew him. To brought it home. Like, he knows I'll eat it out and at other places and stuff, but first time I brought it home, I was like, ugh, why can't you get something better than this if you want to eat meat? I'm like, better than organic and free range turkey. I want to eat like a couple bites of meat a week. Yes, I would love to like buy my turkey direct, but I don't need a whole turkey. If I was going to eat a whole turkey, you know, I would go and like try to find the farm that grew it and get the turkey with the really nice life. But like, I just leave me alone. I just want to eat a few bites of turkey here and then. I did my best that I could at Trader Joe's. But that's the point, right? It's like, I thought about it. I wasn't just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get whatever and start eating hamburgers. It's like, no, I'm thinking about my body. What does my body need? My body is telling me that something's out of balance. My blood sugar isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I have to respect that. That's information from my body. So I considered my history of being vegetarian. I considered my current state of my body. I considered the life that the turkey had before I was going to eat the dead turkey. And I considered the logical, practical aspect of whether I could really buy a whole turkey from some nice farm. Like, my neighbors sell really nice meat. It's the daughter of the farmer. The farmer is like within a few hours drive. This is like, if you're going to buy meat, this is, I can never remember. It's either Dale Ranch or De La Ranch. If you're in the Southern California area, amazing. That's my plug. I love my neighbors. They're super friendly. They care about the quality of their food. It's beautiful meat. I'm going to eat like a couple of bites, and it's actually my neighbor's daughter. So my neighbor's daughter and then the daughter of the farmers. And so my neighbors are actually the parents of one of the sellers. Long story, but the point being, I can't like walk around the corner and ask them to saw off a piece of their turkey breast. I still have to go to the farmer's market. Not the one in my neighborhood, or else I would, but another one that's half an hour away and the parking's complicated and whatever. It's like, that's not realistic. And that's okay. I considered it. It's not an option. What's next? Okay, so whatever the reality of the constraints of your life, consider them and make the best choice that you can. And then move on, okay? A big part of my work with my clients around health, let it go. You can't be perfect. It's done. Think about it, make a decision, move on. Boom. You did your best, right? So part of considerism is not staying caught up in this process of decision making. That's incredibly unhealthy. And it happens to us in the modern day, for sure. If you ever saw Master of None, that's the episode where they spend 2 hours trying to find the best tacos in town. The one guy falls asleep, the other one's texting everyone he knows and researching on every single review site, and by the time they get to the taco shop is out of tacos. Because sometimes you just gotta go, right? You didn't need to decide for 2 hours which tacos you're gonna eat. So this is considerism, right? This is the unhealthy version of considerism, honestly, is a lot of times how we live in our modern world. Our obsession with the perfect, our obsession with only having the best, making sure this is the best decision. Well, there's not one best decision. And even if there is one best decision, it's not always realistic for us. So considerism considers that too. We consider the options to a realistic point. We make a decision, we move on. We did our best. We also want to consider other people's perspectives, right? So much of this is about us. We always want to make it about us. That's normal. That's the brain. That's the ego. That's the human life. And I got to think about you. How does this affect you? What are my choices doing to affect you? And I mean you specifically. And I mean you generally too. But anybody that we interact with, right? And so considerism also can save us from being so full of ourselves, right? So another pop culture reference, if you've ever seen the South Park that's making fun of people in San Francisco and they all drive Priuses or Prii, however you say it, and they fart. I mean, it's a South Park, okay, right? So they fart into wine glasses and sniff their own farts. I mean, it's so ridiculous, right? But that's the idea, is that if we don't think about the other people, like, if we stay so caught up in ourselves and our own experience, that doesn't help us either, and that doesn't help the world. So there you have it, my brief introduction into considerism. I hope that you will consider considering things. And as always, let me know your thoughts. Let me know how this affects you in your life. Let me know what you think. And if you're ready to do some considering in a personal and internal way, specifically about the food that you eat and how your health is being manifested and whether it's in alignment with your goals and your values, as always, go grab your guided journal. Emotional eating detox is the foundational work, and make sure that you clear your head out of things that are driving unhealthy habits in your food and your lifestyle. And then also I have Body Wisdom Journal, right? It's an amazing perspective of tuning into how your body is communicating with you, building up that, how to consider what your body has to say about it. So check them out on my website, AllegraLowenstein.com. And while you're there, leave some comments. Let me know your thoughts. I always love to hear from you.